about three areas where you and I can be assured we're going to get tempted. And that's the area of money, the area of power or authority, and the area of sex. And we're not going to spend a bunch of time on any of those. We're going to talk a little bit about money and look at some principles that really apply to every area. But money, power, or authority, and sex are three areas that we're going to be tempted. Last week, as I mentioned during our communion service, we read through 1 Corinthians chapter 10, so we're not going to turn there this morning. But in chapter 10, it talks about the fact that you and I should not be ignorant of our forefathers who were tempted in the wilderness. And of course, it's talking about the children of Israel. After they were led out of Egypt, they were tempted, and for 40 years they were in the wilderness. And so the Bible says, don't be ignorant. In fact, it says these things were written for your admonition, which literally means to build you up, to teach you, to warn you, to show us that we shouldn't live this way. And so it goes on, it says not to be ignorant. It says not to lust like they did, not to become idolaters as they did, not to live sexually immoral lives, not to complain about leaders. I mean, it's all in there. Not to gossip and all those things. And those are areas where the devil will really get us off track. In fact, Jesus said this about money. Again, I think we can apply these principles to every one of those areas. Matthew 6:24, he said this: "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And so whether it's money or authority or sex or anything that we're being tempted with, the key to it is to allow ourselves to love God more than the things of this world. It's not about, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. Listen, you and I will never win that battle. It will not work. I mean, you may have a lot of willpower, you may be strong in some areas, but listen, we cannot fight a spiritual battle by just saying, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. The way the Bible teaches to fight a spiritual battle is to fall so in love with God that the things of this world don't tug on us like they used to. And so the way we fight is to not, because he says here, you're going to love one and hate the other, or love this one and hate the other one. And so the way that we succeed in spiritual warfare is to draw near to God. Colossians chapter 3, it says that we should look to heaven. We should look to where Christ is seated. And so you and I were looking to Jesus, falling in love with him. And what ends up happening is we have a revelation, if you will, of the love of Christ, which drives us to more of a revelation of the love of Christ, which drives us to more of a revelation of the love of Christ. It says this in Ephesians chapter 4. It says that we would continue to understand the love of Christ, that we would know the breadth, the depth, the height, the width, the expanse, ever-increasing love of Christ. And so it's something that we continue to grow in. And so if you and I are going to have success over the area of money, power, sexual addictions, lust, things like that, we have got to realize that we've got to fall in love with God more than those other things. Matter of fact, in the area of money, let me just say this. If you feel that God's calling you to really be productive and to go after and make a lot of money, that's okay. Go make a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with making money. But let me put it this way, don't let the gold become your God. Believe God for increase, but realize that God has given us a responsibility to use the gifts and the talents for the kingdom of heaven. And so God needs, listen, we couldn't have reached out to TCAPS and DHS last week if we did not have something. I mean, no, it's a lot easier to help people when you have something. Amen? Come on. I mean, we can help with a little bit, but you can help a lot more when you have a lot. But the key is not to allow the gold to become the thing that we worship, the thing that, and a real sign of it, again, whether it's gold or authority or whatever it is, if it's something that is meeting a need where we couldn't release it, all right? And you say, well, how's that apply? It could apply to money. Maybe we have lots of money, but we can't give. We're afraid to give because we'll lose the money that we have. That's a sure sign that we're trusting money over God. Maybe in the area of authority, maybe we have to be in control of every situation. And so we never relinquish control to God because we're fearing, we don't trust him, because we don't have a revelation of his love and how we're submitted to him. And so authority all flows from him. And so we try to control things out of fear, all right? And maybe in the area of sex, we say, well, I'll never get my sexual desires met. And so maybe we're married and then we have an affair on our spouse, or maybe we get addicted to pornography or whatever it may be. We're believing the lie of the devil that our needs won't get met, and we're looking for something else really to meet our identity, if you will. We're having a great time on Monday nights. We're just about done two more sessions. We've had eight sessions meeting with 20 couples, young couples. Well, some of us young, some of us older, but we're meeting and talking about marriage. And one of the things that we talked about, and I think it was the first session, was the fact if we're going to have a successful marriage, and this applies to every area of relationships, I believe, you first of all have got to realize that a person cannot meet your identity. They can't, I mean, everybody loves it. It's cute in the chick flicks. You know, you complete me. We love all that. And it's okay. Nothing wrong. You know, I watched a chick flick with Trish yesterday. I loved it. It was fantastic. But the commercials, I got to watch the Tigers, all right? So it was okay. It's all right. But it's cute in a movie, but listen, a person can't complete you. I mean, it might be an area of somebody where they just don't trust anyone in authority. And so they just don't submit at all. And because we don't trust the person in authority, we're not going to get the advice that we need to help us grow to the next level, whatever it may be. I mean, so many people, we get this complex, oh boy, I'm going in the principal's office. I'm in trouble. Through good, godly leadership, authority is given for our protection, the Bible says, to help us. Because there's authority in our lives, whether it's a parent, maybe it's a boss. Now, I understand there's ungodly leadership. I'm talking about, and God will work through ungodly leadership too. That's a whole other message. But you and I have got to release that control, if you will, to God. Remember, the Garden of Eden is where it all started. And what was it? They did not trust that God. Here, you take Adam and Eve in a perfect garden. Perfect. Matter of fact, I believe, and many would agree with this, Adam and Eve were made to live forever. They were their bodies could live forever. If you look at the fact that Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, and part of that redemption is to get a new body. Come on, somebody. So they're in a perfect garden, and God says, you can have anything you want but this one tree. It's like, really? See, and that's, again, it's authority issues. And we go on and on with that. But the thing I want us to realize is that if you and I are going to succeed, we've got to learn to really look to God when we're faced with a situation, maybe a decision that we have to make, and ask ourselves, why am I doing this? Why am I being drawn this way? Learn to just open up to God and maybe to at least one other person that we're close to, our spouse or a trusted friend or a couple of friends, and say, there's an area here that I'm feeling that I'm tempted in. Would you pray with me? Some things you can take care of on your own just with God, and that's fine. But get in the habit of saying, Lord, why am I doing that? Why am I sensing this fear? Why am I sensing this authority situation? Why am I being drawn away and lusting after certain things time after time? And ask him about it. And when we do that, we should pause for the answer. And if you and I would pause for the answer and allow God to speak to us, the Bible says to be slow to speak, slow to wrath, and quick to hear or to listen. And so many times, I mean, you could even take something small where we say something we shouldn't say. How many know what I'm talking about? It just flies out, and we all do that, and there's forgiveness and all that. But learning how to really just take the time to allow God to help us. If you and I would live that way, I believe that we would all grow old and wealthy and godly by just reflecting God in our lives. In the area of money, I want to tell you, money is not bad. The love of money is bad. Some of you, I know when I had you say you should believe God for as much as you can get, everybody's thinking, well, money's evil, Pastor. No, it's not. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It's the love of money. Again, it's either love of God or love of other things. It's either fear of God or fear of everything else. I said this before, there's only two types of fear, fear of God or fear of everything else. And by fear of God, we're not saying that we're afraid of God. I mean, that's a measure of it. But we're trusting God, you know. We're trusting God. We're not afraid of him. But it says here that when we love money, because it's the root of all kinds of evil, that we can stray concerning our faith and pierce ourselves through with many sorrows. Why? Because we live greedy lives. And so really it's the love of money. It's not money itself. The next thing I want to talk about is the fact that, listen, temptations don't last forever. Again, we look at Jesus and his temptation in the wilderness. The Bible says that after the devil had tempted him with every temptation, that he departed until a more opportune time. There are times that you'll be tempted. There's other times you won't be tempted. Sometimes we may just have things in our minds that we have not released to God that just kind of drive us crazy. How many know what I'm talking about? Things that will steal our sleep from us. Again, it's the Word of God that will help us with all that stuff. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. But we need to realize that temptations are not constant. They will come at certain times. And I want to give you four times that we should realize that we're going to be tempted. Four times we're going to be tempted, and it would do us well to not make any decisions when we feel this way. Again, they're all emotional things. I just say this, don't make emotional decisions. Emotions help us to connect with one another. They help us to connect with God. But emotions do not help us in making decisions good at all. They don't, all right? Number one, when you're tired. Don't make decisions when you're tired. Temptations will come when you're tired. Don't do it. Just do not. Get some rest. Get some counsel. And so many times, and here's what the enemy wants us to do. He wants us to think that every decision we make has to happen now. You better make it or your life is going to end. Listen, unless someone is really in a life and death situation, which for most of us, that's rare. Throughout the course of our life, most of us will never be put in that kind of situation. Unless it's that, any decision you make can wait. Okay? It can wait. All right? It can wait. So don't make decisions when you're tired. It is a perfect time to be tempted. Don't make decisions when you're hungry. If you don't think that's true, you think about the commercials that they put on. Matter of fact, from like 9 till 11 at night, it's like, you are hungry. And you see those commercials, and listen, I just personally, I rarely eat at fast food restaurants. But I'm going to tell you, at 10 o'clock at night, a Whopper triple with cheese, bacon, lettuce, onion, tomato, my way, looks really good. And listen, it doesn't really look that good as it does in the commercial, all right? And it's sure not good for you. But see, they know that. And that's just one area. I mean, maybe, you know, listen, don't make decisions when you're hungry on your way home. You say, well, yeah, but Pastor, you know, I wanted to buy a dozen donuts of Krispy Kremes for the office party in the morning. Well, yeah, that was one of the dozen donuts. What about the other 12? All right, some of you got that. But don't make decisions like that. I'll never forget, I just did that the other week, and I made a decision I shouldn't have made. And I'll blame this on my oldest son, Tony, because I can do that, because I'm a father. But, you know, I was leaving here. He says, you really should get a cake. We didn't have time to bake a cake, and I don't remember what it was. It seems like, you ever notice 20-something people, they always have something to celebrate. You ever notice that? There's always something to celebrate, and, you know, just life, and that's good. But you need to get a cake. And I went and I bought a cake. I spent $12. I did not need. Now, it's only $12. I realize that. But, you know, you can't just eat one piece of cake. All right. Okay. Here's another one. This is really good. When you're lonely. When you're lonely, you're going to be tempted. Again, if we're focusing on Jesus, remember, how do we have successful spiritual warfare is to draw near to God. He'll draw near to us, resist the devil, and he'll what? Flee from you. We've talked about that scripture over and over again, James 4:7. And so what we do is we just fall in love with Jesus, allow him to meet our needs. And I realize that maybe you're believing God for a relationship. Maybe you're single and you want to be married. Maybe you just really want a good friend. And you know, friendships are good. But if we're lonely and we don't allow God, again, I go back to what we said earlier that we talked about even in our marriage class, allow God to be your identity. We're falling so in love with God that we're going to make wise decisions in the area of relationships. Because if we make decisions when we're lonely, I have seen so many people just wreck their lives. Making a decision when they're lonely and getting into a relationship, they wake up the next morning and they regret it. How many know what I'm talking about? And it's a way that we can really get off base. Again, it's not just about the things we do or don't do, but when we're drawing near to God, when we're falling in love with Jesus time after time and getting caught up in his promises, getting caught up in his word, we'll realize, look, I'm not going to make decisions when I'm feeling lonely. There's a reason I'm feeling lonely, and we take it to God and allow him to fill that loneliness. Another time is when we're traumatized. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a job. But here's the thing. Don't allow yourself to make emotional decisions. Next thing I want to talk about is when we're tempted, the Bible tells us that God will give us a way of escape. And I find really great peace in this, and knowing that whatever I'm facing, God has fully equipped me through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, to be able to endure whatever temptation it is. 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And listen, if we blow it, listen, Jesus has taken care of the sin issue. We don't blow it and we've lost our salvation. You guys know that. We've taught on that over and over again. But I'm talking about having a healthy spiritual life. And we said this early on in this series. When you take a look at the children of Israel and how they went through the temptation period in the 40 days in the or 40 years in the wilderness, Jesus went through a temptation period of 40 days in the wilderness. Jesus came out in power. The children of Israel came out of their temptation and started to go into the promised land. The promised land is a picture of victorious Christian living, and Jesus gave us an example of living in the power and the authority of the Spirit after he left his temptation. And so when we endure temptations, knowing that the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, has equipped us to endure whatever temptation we're facing, the Bible says that we're rewarded, in fact, with a crown of life. Let me read this, James 1:12. It's not in our original notes, but I wanted to put this in here. New Living Translation. He says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Listen, when you and I are living our life where we're consumed with God, we're in love with him, we're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, we're reading the Word of God, we're allowing him to be the one who we get our identity from, where he's filling us to overflowing, and all these areas that we're talking about. And Jesus made this so simple. Jesus said to seek the kingdom of heaven first, and all these things would be added to your life. See, Jesus never denied that we wouldn't need things. As a matter of fact, he's talking to his disciples in that story that we read in the Bible, and he's saying it's okay to have all these things that everyone wants, but if you seek the kingdom of heaven first, say first. And that is really a key to winning spiritual warfare. That is a key to resisting temptation. Is we're falling so in love with Jesus that the things of this life just start to not even matter. And we don't even know it. Before too long, those things are not really as hard as they seem to be. James 4:7, again, it says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will what? Flee from you. Hebrews 4:15, he says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points, say all points, all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Here's our hope. Jesus has taken care of the sin issue for us. He was tempted. He's victorious over sin. So even when we mess up, we say, I'm victorious because of what Christ has done. And I thank you, Lord, because you have given me your son, Jesus, and he died for me, that I can endure every temptation, and I will have the victory through Christ Jesus because you've given it to me. He says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Listen, we need grace. We need mercy. We need forgiveness if we're going to overcome temptation in our lives. We need to know that it's not based on us. It's based on him. And as we draw near to him, he draws near to us. Psalm 103:12, he says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I love this verse here. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Listen, if you have an area that you're being tempted in and you're failing and you're not getting the victory, be encouraged today. God knows where you're at. He's like a father who loves you. He wants to help you. He says, get your eyes focused on me. Start to look to me, the author and the finisher of your faith. Realize that I've removed your sin as far as the east is from the west. I love that. You know, you can head east, and no matter how far you go, you will never be heading west. You'll always be heading east. If you head north or south, eventually you'll be heading in the opposite direction. Think about it. How many know God's word is just amazing? You will never head west as long as you head east. You'll never head east as long as you head west. Let's talk a little bit about the different parts of the armor of God that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. Some of us are familiar with this, but we want to talk about this a little bit over the next couple of weeks. And understand, in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul the Apostle is using, really referencing a Roman soldier's armor and then drawing spiritual truths using natural examples. Ephesians 6:14, he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth. And if you take a look at a Roman soldier's equipment, he would have the belt on. That would be where he'd keep his sword and his scabbard for his sword to go in. Maybe he would have small daggers around the belt or something like that, different weaponry. Again, this is in a time that maybe we're not familiar with, but they would keep things in there. But the thing I think we can understand is, listen, one of the things a belt always does is hold your pants up. Okay? You and I need a belt of truth to keep our pants up. There is nothing worse than a spiritual soldier trying to fight a battle, and they don't even have enough word of God, which is the truth, all right? That's the word of God. It's our belt of truth, the word of God, that our pants are falling down. It's hard to fight. Pants on the ground, pants on the ground, looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. I mean, we need the truth of the word of God. And you, if you and I don't start with God's word, it's going to be hard for us to fight any kind of battle. I mean, we're in love with Jesus. We're on our way to heaven. But I'm talking about successful Christian living here, now, all right? We need spiritual warfare now to be able to live successful lives so we can preach the gospel with everything God gives us, with our time, our treasure, our talents. That's why we're here. We don't need spiritual warfare when we get to heaven. Think about it. It's for now. It's for our benefit now. We need a belt to hold our pants. I mean, can you think about it? You can't even fight. Can you imagine fighting an enemy whose pants are around his ankles? He's like, come on, I'll get you. Get what? But you and I need to be ready for battle. And really, the way we're equipped starts with the belt of truth. The belt holds all the other armor. Matter of fact, I believe this. How bold can you be? Put yourself, if you will, in a battle situation, just in your mind. And your pants are around your ankles. How bold are you going to be to fight that battle? I mean, can you imagine you're trying to hold your pants up with one hand and trying to get your weapon with the other and hold onto this mic with your third hand? I mean, it doesn't work. Okay. But your boldness is sapped. You will not have boldness if you don't. And I've seen so many Christians, they love the Lord on their way to heaven, but because they don't know the word of God, they have no boldness. And listen, I believe we all have hard times where we just need to pray. Every one of us has prayed, oh, Jesus, help me. That's okay. But if our prayer and knowledge and understanding of the word never goes beyond that, we are not going to live the kind of life that God has for us. We're not going to be able to pray with boldness. The Bible says to enter into his presence with boldness, obtaining grace and mercy in time of need. The way we come in is boldness, knowing the word of God. Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Listen, when you and I have the word of God, we know how to pray. We know how to do spiritual warfare. We know how to keep our pants off the ground. Hello. The belt of truth is the word of God. And if we don't have much truth in our life, it's going to be hard to hold all of our armor together. John 8:32, Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Listen, when you and I are fighting a spiritual battle, the Bible tells us that we wrestle with darkness and principalities of wickedness in high places. Listen, truth expels darkness. God's word expels dark areas in our lives. It brings understanding into our lives. Psalm 119, 130. The entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And so the word of God is like a light. It comes and it shines and it gives us direction. It gives us purpose. It shows us what God has given us. Our daughter and son-in-law, they just closed on their first mortgage about a month ago. But it's within their budget. I mean, they did wise, but still pay that thing off as quick as they can. But they just closed on their first home. And they earlier this week, they started, some of you will get this, they started remodeling the bathroom. Now, some of you work in the trades, and maybe it doesn't seem like a big deal, but you understand this maybe even more. You don't know what's under there until you get under there, okay? You know, I mean, especially in a bathroom. It's amazing how much damage a little bit of water in a lot of darkness can do. I remember the first house that Trish and I bought, and I am not like Mr. Handyman at all. But, you know, you get your first house, we're gonna remodel the bathroom. And I knew it needed some help because, you know, the caulking, I was always redoing the caulking. You could tell it just wasn't held together right. You know, when you kind of move the shower enclosure and it kind of moves like this and you hear things crumble behind, you know, that's not good. So, you know, being lightning quick like I am, I knew that we had to do some work. And so I thought, yeah, we'll rip that thing out. I ripped that out. I'm going to tell you, I never saw so many black ants in my life. Had a little bit of a wet rod in there, and there were little carpenter ants in there and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you don't realize that till you get the light. Say the light. I mean, if you take a flashlight and you move a rock or get into a dark place, how many know that's where scorpions and bugs and spiders? I'm freaking out the ladies now. Maybe some of the guys. I don't know. That's where darkness dwells. And the Bible talks about the devil like a serpent or a scorpion. See, the devil does his best work in the dark. And when we don't understand the Word of God, it's like living in the dark. It's like living behind that shower enclosure where there's no light, there's no truth. And we don't even realize how bad the damage could be. And so it's the Word of God that enlightens us. It's the Word of God that brings truth. It's the Word of God that sets us free. It's like areas of our mind where the light is gotten. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 talks about the fact that he made Jesus to be sin for you so that you could be the righteousness of God through him. You know that old things have passed away, all things become new. But maybe you don't know what God says about the area of prosperity for your finances. Well, you're saved, you're on your way to heaven, but the word or the light of God's truth has not enlightened your life so that you understand that God wants you to prosper. God has a plan for your life in the area of prosperity. He has a plan for your life in the area of relationships. He has a plan for our lives in the area of healing. And we could go on and on. And listen, if we don't have the Word of God, it's going to be very, very hard for us to win spiritual warfare. See, when we're in the dark in a certain area, that brings fear and doubt. Somebody once said this, information breeds confidence. If we don't have the information of God's Word, it's hard to be confident. Remember, we just read it. The wicked flee when no one pursues. Proverbs 28:1. But the righteous are what? Bold as a lion. So it gives us what we need to be set free of fear. The more truth we receive, the more victory we'll see manifested in our life because the truth sets us free. Matthew 12:20. I want to read a couple of scriptures here and I want to show you that truth and victory, in fact, I believe are synonymous with one another. Truth will bring us victory. Matthew 12:20. It says, a bruised reed he will not break and a smoking flax he will not quench, speaking of Jesus, till he sends forth justice to what? Victory. Now, this is a direct quote of Isaiah 42, verse 3. And listen how it says it in Isaiah 42. He says, a bruised reed he will not break, a smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for what? Truth. So in one area, we see it translated as victory. One area, we see it translated as truth. Because I believe that you and I will get the victory when we have the truth of God's word released in our lives. The Bible tells us to not be ignorant of the devil's devices. Listen, he is always tempted the same way. You remember in the Garden of Eden, did God say? And if we don't know what God said, look, he's got us. He's already winning the battle when we don't know what God's word says. When he comes and say, did God's word say this? We'll say, I don't know what God's word says. 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In fact, let's add this to our notes this morning. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5, New King James Version. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, say mighty, in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So how do we bring every thought into captivity? We look to Jesus, the one who was obedient for you and I, who has fulfilled all things for you and me. We have mighty spiritual weapons to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I mean, it kind of works like this. The enemy will come in and maybe you get a pain in your body and our first thought is, I'm going to die. Now listen, if you have a pain in your body, get prayer. And if you need to, go get checked by a doctor. That's okay. But don't automatically think, I don't know what that is. It's a pimple. Pop it. I mean, sometimes I've seen people, they just get all blown out of stuff. And because listen, remember that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. It's the entrance of his word that brings light. Are you with me? And so we don't know that. We should say, by his stripes, I am healed. Thank you, Jesus. If the pain persists, go check it out with a doctor. But don't automatically believe the worst. Believe that you're healed by Jesus' stripes, because that's what the word says. I mean, maybe you're at an event. Maybe you're at a gathering, and you're over here talking to someone, and across the room you see a couple of people talking, and they talk a little bit, and they both look at you. Then a little bit later, you see this person go talk to somebody else, and they're chatting, and they look at you. And automatically, you think, they're talking about me. Well, probably. But we think, well, I wonder what they're saying. Well, you know, so and you start to think all these things. Maybe they're planning your surprise birthday party. You don't know. But you automatically started to think the worst. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, this is what happens. We don't realize what God's word says in a certain area. So doubt and fear enter. We don't know what's going on. And we automatically, because of doubt and fear, because we're not bold as lions, because we don't understand God's word, we will automatically start to go in the direction of doubt and fear. Are you with me this morning? And that's why it's so important to know God's word in every area. Maybe a whisper comes in and says, well, you know, your husband or your wife, they don't spend much time with you anymore, and they don't love you like they used to, and, you know, you don't look the way you used to. So you automatically start to think, oh, boy, maybe they're having an affair on me. We always go in the negative. We always automatically will go in the wrong direction without help. See, you and I need to build up our fear or trust, I'll say, in the Lord. Because I've said this before, and I really believe there's only two types of fear. There's fear of God or trust of God or fear of everything else. If we don't trust God, if we don't fear the Lord, we will be afraid of everything else. We'll be unsure about our future. We said this before. The Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a healthy, sound mind. Fear is really a demonic, prophetic voice. A demonic, prophetic voice telling you your future is not going to work out well. And why would you want to listen to that? The Bible says this. Read with me. It says in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has not been made perfect in love. See, if you're being tormented in your mind, that's not God. If you're riddled with guilt, that's not God. If you're feeling condemned, that's not God. Romans chapter 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who don't walk according to the law or the flesh, but walk according to the Spirit of God. If you're fearing, if you have doubt, it's a sure sign that you're being tempted, and it's time to get in the Word of God. It's time to get someone around you to pray with. It's time to start to listen to a message. It's time to read a book that focuses your attention back to the Word of God, because perfect love will cast out all fear. Fear causes you and I to make decisions and to become exactly what we fear. Let me just give you an example. Maybe you're a person, maybe you need some help with your finances, let's say. You need help with your finances. So many people, well, we won't go get the help that we need because they'll think I'm stupid. What will they think? And so we don't go get the professional help, if you will, or just the advice of a friend or some or a business person. And so because we're afraid, oh man, we could go on and on with this. Really, it stems from an authority issue. Remember we talked early on about how he's going to tempt us in authority, sex, and money? So many people have this complex, you know, somebody in a position of authority say, hey, why don't you come to my office? Let's have a chat. And we're like, oh. Well, if you wouldn't have done so many bad things in high school, you wouldn't have that fear of the principal. No, I mean, you know, just having fun with you. But so many people think that when it comes to authority. But, you know, the Bible says authority is given to us for safety. Someone, a parent or an advisor, a pastor, a leader, whatever, to help us. But we don't want to go when we would need help in an area. All right. Maybe we've never learned how to trust someone in a relationship. Maybe we've been hurt by people. And listen, that's every one of us. But because we've never been hurt, we say, you know what? I can't ever trust again. But down deep, the greatest need we have is to have a close friend. But because we fear, we'll never reach out because of that fear to get the close friend. And because we never reach out, we'll never have that friendship. Does that make sense to you? And so fear will cause us to become exactly what it is that we're fearing. When you and I don't have a revelation of our identity in Christ, we're going to be prone to thoughts that question our value and our purpose. Everybody just look at me. I want you to say this. I want you to say, God is pleased with me. Say it again. Say, God is pleased with me. I'll say this. Say, God has a purpose for me. Say it again. God has a purpose for me. See, God loves you. God has a purpose for you. Anything that is causing you to feel fear or doubt or shame is from the enemy, and he is tempting you and leading you down a path that is going to make you live your life in darkness where the truth cannot enter. And it's God's word that comes in and will bring victory into your life. Romans 8:37, it says in all these things that we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. 2 Corinthians 1:20, he says, for all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Listen, the promises that God has for you and I are yes and amen. Say yes. Say amen. You know what amen means? It's an old English word. It means so be it. So be it. Let God's word so be in my life. And if we're going to have successful spiritual warfare, if we're going to live a successful life, we need to realize that if God is for us, who can be against us? Do you believe that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today for the word of God that's been sown in these good hearts. I pray for each person here, Lord God, that we come against the spirit of fear. We come against the spirit of doubt, shame. We come against bitterness, anger, wrath, any kind of darkness. We expel it by the light of your